I'm not gonna sing. Don't worry.
Oh, come on. You like to do.
This is to help y'all who are sitting in the back. But I encourage you to come forward. I'd like to see your faces, and I'd like you to be able to see my faces and our various reactions when I say things that maybe you don't really expect me to say. Maybe some crazy things. Turn to Exodus chapter 31. It's on page 86 of the Pew Bibles. And as we're turning, we'll be having touch at 3 o'clock. We'll be voting on the budget right after the service. And I was told to make it quick because Duke is playing at 1. So I will. But also, we'll be having touch here at 3 o'clock. And I want to see all y'all here. It's one of the most critical parts of the life of the church as we go out and we visit members who are not able to come. We bring church to them. They can't come to church. And we also go out in the community and we bring church to those who don't know about church, don't know about Jesus Christ or they haven't experienced this wonderful life that Jesus offers to each and every one of us. That starts at 3 o'clock. And also, if you are unable to come, I still have some advertisements for our English classes that will be beginning in less than 2 weeks. So you can please come find me before you leave, and I'll give you some. Anyone in the community is free to come to these English classes, and we can be a service to those in our community through that. We're going through a series. You can find it on the back of the insert in the bulletin. The first week we talked about the gospel. If you remember, the gospel is a lifelong pursuit. We learn something new every day as we consider the gospel from different perspectives. And then we talked about God, the one who brings us the gospel. The gospel is about God and God coming to us in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as God comes to us, God brings us together in a new family that we call the church. This morning we're going to be talking about Scripture, which is connected to all of these themes. In different ways. But I also wanted to mention that on Wednesdays at 6:15 in the Hudson Ladies Room, which is right there, we have prayer and study, and these next few weeks we're going to be talking about the service that just happened. So this Wednesday at 6:15 we're going to be talking about Scripture, the Bible, and we'll have a discussion that is more of a conversation. Different things about Scripture. So I encourage you to come to that. But we will have a little bit of interaction this morning. Let's begin by reading from Exodus chapter 31. I'm going to start the very last verse and start reading from there. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the golden earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." And then I'm going to hop to verse 15 in chapter 32. Moses turned and went down to the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. The word of God for the people of God. Well, this morning I want to start with a quiz. Yeah, y'all thought that you weren't in school anymore, right? Well, if you take this out of your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, take this out. You'll see a little quiz up top. If you don't have a bulletin, just take out a piece of paper. I'll be reading the questions, and we'll see how much we know of this book we call the Bible. Okay, 7 questions. Are you ready? You ready? Okay, the first question, how many books in the Old Testament? Write it down. How many books in the Old Testament? Number 2, how many books in the New Testament? Number three should be a gimme, because somebody mentioned it earlier in the service. What is the longest chapter in the Bible? Okay, write it down. No cheating. I heard some whispering over there. Number 4, what is the name of Moses' brother? Okay, that also, the name was mentioned earlier in the service. Okay, ready? Number 5, who escaped murder by getting in a basket? Write it down. Number 6, who killed 1,000 men with a donkey jawbone? And am I hearing some cheating?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some cheating? Well, I don't know if I would trust that answer, though. And number 7, what verse do you find the first baseball game in the Bible? Okay. We got 7 questions. We'll see if anyone gets all 7 right. That'll be impressive. Okay, number 1, how many books in the Old Testament? 39. Right? 39. Good job. How many books in the New Testament? 27. Good. And I remember that because 39, 3 times 9 is 27. Easy way to remember. Okay. 3, what is the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalm 119. David read part of it today. 4, what is the name of Moses' brother?
Aaron.
Yeah, the guy who made the calf, the golden calf. Number 5, who escaped murder by getting in a basket?
Moses.
There's another answer too. Anybody? Paul, in the book of Acts, he got in a basket to escape some murders. Who killed 1,000 men with a donkey jawbone? Samson, yes. You can find that in the book of Judges. And 7, what verse do you find the first baseball game? No? Well, it's in Genesis 1:1, in the big inning.
No.
I guess nobody got 100%, huh?
That is really weird.
Well, good job, y'all. There's a lot that we can learn in Scripture. Some things more accurate than others, I guess. But I imagine we should ask a basic question this morning before we go any further. Where does this Bible come from? I mean, we have it in our hands, and some of us, we've had it in our hands as long as we can remember. But where does it come from? Well, it comes from the church. Yeah. So we talked about the church last week. And these sermons are interconnected in really interesting ways. But we receive the scripture through the church. The church has been around for 2,000 years, though the Bible has been, some of the earliest parts of the Bible were written much earlier than that. But the people of God throughout the millennia have been writing down the words of God. One by one, they write these books. And in the first and second centuries AD, we find other people of God. Now we see the church, people in the church writing these books. These books that eventually are compiled into the Old Testament and the New Testament, and eventually we call the Holy Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. The church collected these books and began using them, the Old Testament and the New Testament, in their worship. And it became the collective memory of the church. This was the memory of God working in the earth with his people. And through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, these books came together in the church, and we decided as a church, yes, these books are Holy Scripture. We encounter God as we read them. Well, thank God that we have this wonderful book, this book of books that has been handed down to us for centuries and centuries. And now we can have it in our hands this morning. Well, as the collective memory of the church, it points to the story of God among humans. It tells the stories of God coming down and interacting with us and rescuing us. From the very beginning, when God comes down and the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters, and God creates. And then later on in the second book of the Bible, Exodus, God comes down and he saves the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt and gives them the Ten Commandments through Moses. And then later on, God comes down in the form of Jesus Christ and teaches us about this new kingdom that is at hand, the kingdom of God. The Bible is stories of God coming down and rescuing us and interacting with the people he loves. The Bible is a faithful record of all these events in history, of God's ongoing revelation. Scripture is God's record of his revelation. But it's not just a record. It's not just a record, not like a history book is a record. You see, a history book is essentially a dead book. It speaks of history, but that's it. It merely records past events. You may have heard this saying, you're living in the past, right? What does that mean, you're living in the past? Anyone? Yeah, you're thinking back. Yeah, and as you think back and you know all of your actions are based on the past. You're not living in the present, right? And you might be stuck in history for one reason or another, and eventually you will have no significance in the present. Well, the Bible is not stuck in the past. It's not stuck in history. It certainly is a faithful record of the history of God revealing God's self to us. But Scripture continues to reveal God to us every time we open it. Scripture is God's revelation. It has become God's revelation. But not in the sense that we worship Scripture like we worship God. No, Scripture is God's revelation because God chooses for it to be. That God chooses to reveal God's self through these words. Without God, the Bible would be as dead as a history book. But it's God's choice of speaking to us through these pages that makes it our revelation. Well, because Scripture is alive, because it's full of revelation, Scripture can do something that no other book can do. It can feed us. Scripture is food for our souls. It's described as honey throughout its pages. It's like food because it becomes a part of you as you read it. It becomes a part of you. You feed on it. It's not simply an academic pursuit where you study the words and you learn and you become smarter and smarter as you read this. No, it involves putting your body out there, making Scripture part of who you are. A famous Christian years ago named Bonaventure said, "To know much and taste nothing, of what use is that? To know much and taste nothing, of what use is that?" Now, we don't learn, study, and use Scripture. We eat it. There's a great book that I'd recommend to any of y'all. The author is the one who translated the Bible into The Message. You might be familiar with The Message, a version of Scripture. Eugene Peterson, he writes this book. It's called Eat This Book. And he's not talking about this book. He's talking about Scripture, that we as Christians, we don't just read it, but we eat it, we consume it. It becomes part of us. Most of us have the daily habit of eating, right? We're told to have three well-rounded meals a day, a little bread, dairy, fruit and vegetables, chocolate, what? meat, that's right. I'll do with chocolate. But that's how we stay healthy physically, right? I mean, that's part of what keeps us physically healthy, is we're eating balanced meals every day. Well, in the same way, a critical part of being healthy spiritually is to feed on Scripture daily, to pick up this book daily and eat it. We must realize that this spiritual food is even more important than physical food. If you remember Jesus, he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and he was tempted by Satan, and his answer to one of the temptations was, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So after 40 days of not eating, I don't think I would have said that. I think I would have said, "I'd like a little bread right now." But Jesus said, "We don't live by bread alone, but by the words of God." It's the word of God that sustained Jesus those 40 days, and it's the word of God that will sustain us through anything that we experience here on this earth. The fact is, though, that whether you're reading scripture daily or not, we're all eating. We're all eating something. Everybody eats. Everybody eats. The scripture today in Exodus chapter 31 and 32, we see that. We see that everybody eats. Moses, he's coming down from Mount Sinai. God had just given him the very beginnings of scripture. This is the first time in scripture we read where scripture is written down. Okay? In the Ten Commandments. He's coming down with the very beginnings of scripture. And these are the actual words of God, written by the finger of God. God's words. Words of life, words to live by, certainly words to eat. Words that the Israelites had already heard. God had said them from the mountain before he had written them down. These are the words that the Israelites had already heard. And what does Moses find? The Israelites had already broken the commandments. One of the Ten Commandments is not to have idols, not to worship any god other than the God of Israel. And they had already broken that. And it didn't take more than 40 days for them to break that. But it's interesting. Moses does two really interesting things towards the end of our passage today. Two really interesting things. The first thing he does is he takes the scripture, these commandments, and he throws them down to the ground, right? And breaks them. He just shatters them. And I think it was a sign of how these people had already broken the commandments of God. They'd already broken them with the idols. And so Moses said, look what you have done. He throws them down and he breaks the Ten Commandments. The second thing that he does is also really interesting. He takes this golden calf, this idol that they had made, and he crushes it into dust, right? And then he has everyone eat it, right? He has everyone eat this dust. I think it's really odd, but I think it's also a sign that everyone eats, no matter if you're reading scripture or not. We are either eating the word of God or we're eating the dust of idols. We can either live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, or we can die by the food of our own follies, of what we do apart from Scripture, apart from our Creator. We're either looking to our Creator for sustenance, or we're looking somewhere else. We're looking to our Creator or someone else. And if we try to live apart from our Creator, we will eventually become like what God had said in the beginning of Genesis. We are destined to die and return to dust. Scripture, it's kind of like that tree of life in the middle of the garden. We come and we eat it to live. By it we shall live. Where else can we go? Who else has the words of eternal life? Well, as we pick up this book and see daily, we read and listen to God's Spirit speak to us in these words. As a church, we come together corporately to listen to God's Spirit speak to each and every one of us. It's like the greatest of all potlucks. And we Baptists, we know potlucks, right? But this is the greatest of them all. as we come together during Sunday school or during Sunday service, and we feed each other what God has fed each and every one of us during the week. Well, I want to spend a little time, if y'all are willing, to feed one another. A little time to have a meal right now where we can serve one another. I'd mentioned I wanted to take some time last week so we can share what we've learned through Scripture during the service. And so I want to do that right now. So is there anyone who would like to share something that God has taught them this week through Scripture? Anyone? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I consider it a privilege to stand up for Jesus. There's probably been a time in my life when I wouldn't do that, but you know, the devil will tell you don't stand up. You may say something stupid or you may look stupid, but through the years I've learned that he will give you the power to say words that maybe you would never have been able to say before. But Jesus died on the cross for such a sinner as I, and so I consider it a privilege to stand up and praise him. I know when my father was dying, and he would go through some good days and some bad days, I had to sign for a FedEx one time at work, and the FedEx man there, they don't take very long, and he said, well, how are you today? And I said, well, I'm not doing good, my father's dying. And he looked at me, and he said, sister, read Proverbs 24:10. And I said, what is that? And he said, if thou faint in adversity, thy strength is small. And that's the truth. If we faint during adversity, because if you wake up in the morning, I guarantee you, you're going to face adversity through life. And you're going to go through heartache. You're going to go through temptation. You're going to go through depression. You're going to go through death. And if you faint in adversity, your strength with the Lord is small. And the Lord said he would mount us up like eagles when our strength is small, and he would be with us 24 hours a day. And I consider that like little babies. When you have a baby, you don't have to look after it 2 hours a day, 12 hours a day. You look after it 24 hours a day. And that's what the Lord looks after us for. And he, you know, he's been with me through many trials. I've not always lived for him. It's difficult this day and time to say that we live for the Lord all the time. And we can't look at human man and say, well, look what he done wrong or look what she does wrong. We have to look unto the Lord to give us our strength. And so I just say that he's always been with me. He's never left me. I feel his power. And if we can just stick with him, then I believe he will show us the way.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, I'm sure that God has taught us much. I know that sometimes it's a little scary to stand up and share. We have Sunday school classes for that very reason, that we can come together in small groups and share intimate things about what we've learned through Scripture, what we've learned through God. And if you're not in a Sunday school class, talk to Mary Ellen. You'll love to talk with her anyway, but she can find you a class that you will love to be a part of. Well, we've seen that Scripture is our revelation, that Scripture is food, but Scripture is also a story. It's a story that we find ourselves in the middle of, surprisingly, that we are part of this story of Scripture. It's a story with a plot, with setting, with characters. Who is the main character of Scripture? God. Yeah, that's right. God is the protagonist. God is in the beginning, God is throughout, and God is at the end. I mean, humans have a part, but the story would go on without us, whether we're part of it or not. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means that we discover ourselves in the story of Scripture. As we read Scripture, we learn this story. We're like a people who discover that we're on a stage and a story is going on. And, well, maybe we don't realize what the story is, and maybe we're just playing out our own story, but suddenly we realize that there's this grand story that has been happening before we were ever around. And the story is in Scripture. We realize that the story has been going on for millennia and millennia, maybe without our realization. And we find ourselves on stage with this script. And the script is not done. What is our part? Well, we read this script, this story, this scripture that we have to know what the story was before. You know, what were the acts before we came on stage? We also read to understand where the story is heading. As we read before, we know, oh, this is how the story is progressing. And with the help of the screenwriter, we learn what our part of the story is. The script directs us how to act on stage. Our scripture directs us how to act in life. Certainly there's some do's and don'ts, or rather some shalls and shall nots around Scripture. But more importantly, we read Scripture to discover the spirit of what it means to be a Christian. And to grasp that, we must eat. Well, have you discovered the grand story of God yet? Jesus Christ came to restore us to God in this grand story. I encourage all of y'all to come and be a part of this grand story. You can make the decision today by taking that first step. Would you like to join Mount Hermon Baptist Church in our little part of this grand story in Durham, North Carolina? You can come forward this morning during the hymn of invitation to make that decision, to become a part of Mount Hermon Baptist Church in this great story. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, we thank you for the scripture, the Bible that you've given us, oh Father, which you continue to reveal yourself to us through the pages. Lord, you also give us this Bible as sustenance, as nourishment, as food for life. You know we need it, and we must go to it daily to live well. And Lord, you have given us this scripture as a script for this grand story in which you are both screenwriter and main character, O Father. And we look to Scripture for guidance as we see this story continue to unfold even in this generation. O Lord, I just lift up those who have yet to make decisions to be a part of that story. And I ask that you move them even today to decide to follow you in this story. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn number 302, Set My Soul Afire. 302.